This is international film and television star Nick Searcy, and for some unknown reason, you are now listening to Off the Hook Radio. God help you all.
We were lost in the middle of the video boom. We look round, found a real show, yeah, it's a pool. Heard the stock in the place where I thought to spark. And I knew politics, pop culture, stupid criminals too. Now the sound of the right, let me put up a fight.
Tuesday, everyone, and what a glorious Tuesday it is. Possibly the greatest Tuesday in the history of Tuesdays. Awesome!
I hope Tyrus is back tonight. I'll watch Gutfeld after the show. I love Gutfeld. Oh, anyway. Hello, I'm Zip Allen, unless you're the IRS, in which case you know me by that other name, you bastards. Hello and welcome to Off Hook Radio for November 22nd,
2022.
There you go.
We're out of time. We're gonna have to make a new one of those soon.
Why? Oh,
it's almost
why? Why? Well, I actually asked why. Oh my God, I'm senile. I've got Bidenitis.
You do.
Hey, I just wanted to mention Nick Searcy, who does our open there, my buddy from Hollywood. And if you don't remember who Nick Searcy is, he was the sheriff. He was the sheriff marshal on Justified for, 6 years, 7 years? Great show. And he's made a hell of a lot of good movies. Nick Searcy has a new...
Oh, sorry, I don't know what I just hit. Okay, we're done.
That was fans cheering for Nick Searcy. Obviously. Yeah, I could tell what it was. It's okay. I just want to let you know he has a new movie coming out January 6th, 2023. It's called The Old Way. It's a Western. It's Nick Searcy and Clint Howard, Abraham Ben Ruby, and some guy, some you might have heard of, I don't know, Nicolas Cage. I don't know who the hell he is.
I know.
But obviously Nick Searcy's the star.
Probably because sat next to him before.
You what?
Rick probably sat next to Nicolas Cage before.
No.
Rick, you know Nick Cage?
I know him, but I don't know him.
You've met him?
I never met Cage.
Okay. It's also the anniversary of the death of John F. Kennedy. Rick, you were around. You remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just a little baby.
A little kid.
Yeah, but it still impacted you pretty good, I would assume.
I'm trying to think if I really, really knew what was going on. Unless I was, just outside playing. I don't remember. I really gotta sit down one day and figure out, okay, where the hell was I?
Well, I'd like to open the show with a quote from John F. Kennedy, and it's a quote that one Elon Musk might want to pin to his Twitter page. This is John F. Kennedy. A nation that is afraid to let its people judge the truth and falsehood in an open market is a nation that's afraid of its people. Which pretty much describes what's going on right now. I still got property in Pennsylvania. I don't live there anymore, but I still own a house. And so I think I'm entitled to say this because, I don't want to do politics tonight and stuff. Not, you know, not nothing nasty or anything, but I'm not passing judgment. But after the election of Fetterman, the word on the street is that in Poland, they're starting to tell Pennsylvania jokes. Oh, God. So there you go. So I don't want to be negative tonight. Matter of fact, I've got a little guest tonight that'll tell you how we're going to run the show. Go ahead, Slim.
What the hell? What did Mr. Graham do to me? Oh, there we go.
It's the little girl.
I know.
Oh.
Facebook was being stupid.
It's our new expensive soundboard.
No. I was just Facebook was being stupid.
I can't do negative today. Positive vibes.
That's right. Positive vibes. It started playing. It was muted in the screen, and it shouldn't have been because I had set it so it wasn't muted, and it just defaulted to mute again.
It's okay. I'm going to look at this positively. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to look at a lot of people were asking me. I even said on Facebook when I stuck the picture up there, I don't want to talk about it. But after 21 and a half days, I got my car back today.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens when you take it in for a 8-hour minor repair to replace a small part that they knew was a problem. That was going to be there in 1 week. They told me on September 6th, and it showed up in about 8 weeks.
That's built back better for you.
Yeah, thanks, Pete Buttfudge. But it was a 1-day thing, and I went down and they said, the computer upload is going to take longer than we thought, and we're going to have to give you a loaner car for the day. Okay, fine. All right, I'll get it tomorrow. Next day, it still wasn't done. Next day was Wednesday. Thursday.
That's when you ask for the Lamborghini as the loaner car.
Thursday, it still wasn't done. Now, they gave me a Q5, which I hate. It's the Audi SUV, and Audis are great cars, but they're SUVs. They put four cylinders in them. Like, you know, and I don't know. They just suck. And I don't really like SUVs anyway. I drive fast sedans, so... So on Thursday, they tell me, the upload is done today, but we've got to check some more stuff. And then Friday morning they call me. And when we were pulling your car in this morning to do those last couple little things, and granted, this is the whole week now. Our mechanic, bumped your car into a pole.
Wow.
And put a scratch and a dent in the rear passenger door. Jesus Christ. And I said, I need my car for the weekend. I'm not driving this piece of shit down to the Bucks game. Need my car back for the weekend with a scratch and dent in it or whatever. I need my car. So they bring my car up for the weekend. Monday morning, I take it back down for the repair. Now, you remember the Bucks went to Germany for their game, and then they're off. Okay, so it we're talking 3 weeks. 3 weeks to fix the scratch and dent. Plus a half day. Now, to be fair to them, they did give me an A7 to drive, which is closer to my car. It's still not as good, but at least it's a lot better than their stupid SUVs. I finally got it back today. It looks perfect. They did a great job, but 21 and a half days to fix a scratch and a dent that they caused. That's some serious bullshit there. So I am going to look on the bright side. I've got my car back. And this will be the last time I speak of it. I want to put this shitty experience out of my mind, what I have left. Speaking of mines where there's not much left, I didn't want to do, you know, election stuff tonight. I want to keep it positive. So when I called Sippy Cup after his nap, I want to make sure he was rested, and called him about 6 o'clock yesterday. And I said that, you know, people are saying things about these elections that, you know, a lot of this stuff looks funny, just like it did 2 years before, all this mail-in ballots and stuff. And people are talking, they're saying things. Can you comment on it for me, Mr. President? And here was his response.
You guys want everything free, huh? I gave you free college loans. Now you want free speech? And besides, you can say whatever you want. It's just if we don't like what you said, we'll put you in jail. That's all. It's not even real jail. It's Twitter jail or Facebook jail. Back in the old days, we had to do real jail. I spent 19 years in Shawshank. I had to dig my way out with a rock hammer behind a poster of Rita Hayworth. That's the way real men did it. Too bad, though. Corn Pop hung himself in a hotel room.
Oh, Corn Pop was the original Epstein. I wonder what Corn Pop ever did to the Clintons. You think? I don't know. What would you do to a guy like Corn Pop in the hood there, Rick?
He would get popped.
Corn Pop would have been popped?
Yeah, it would have been popped.
What would you do to the lifeguard who let the kids play with the hair on his leg?
Ew.
You get popped too?
Yeah. Well, I would say, but then people would be knocking on my door.
That's true. Delaware would have had to find another senator, probably.
Uh-huh.
It's a good thing he didn't grow up in the Bronx, right?
Bronx, Brooklyn.
Yes, the Bronx. See, I'm getting it right. The Yankees place. Because every time I say Brooklyn, Rick gets mad at me. And when Rick gets mad at me, I get scared because of he's from the Bronx and he's Italian and he knows people.
He isn't from the Bronx.
I'm trying to get it straight. I'm saying it's a good thing he wasn't from the Bronx.
He wasn't from, yes.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think he would have lasted in the Bronx. Things were a little easier in Delaware. Oh. Now, you're a Yankees fan, Slim.
I used to be. I'm not.
You've been to Yankee Stadium, right?
Yeah, of course. Yes. I'm a Yankees fan, but I'm not one of those that, you know, has to watch every baseball game. So.
But you've been to the Bronx.
I've been to the Bronx, and it's a scary fucking place.
Scary house.
It's just scary.
Scary like a clown.
Well, you have to remember.
A whole nother joke.
I was there back in the before Giuliani started cleaning the place up a little bit, and whoever the mayor was before him, and
Dinkins, I think.
It was a shit show. I mean, when you drove into New York City, it was just garbage everywhere. I mean, that's back when you couldn't leave your car. Well, you still can't now, but because Eric Adams doesn't have any control. But you know, if you left your car on the side of the road, your risk to having everything stripped, and like I said, garbage everywhere. And then as you know, years progressed, I went into the city, and it's cleaned up, but it was a shithole. It was a shithole, scary shithole.
What year did you leave to become famous in Hollywood, Rick?
Oh, what time did I leave? Shit. 2003.
You left in 2003?
Yeah, to come down to this place I'm at now.
Oh, you did The Sopranos actually in Jersey, didn't you?
Actually, the Sopranos, the set was in Manhattan.
It was in Manhattan?
Yeah, it's the Silver Cup Studios.
So you didn't have to go to Hollywood.
I didn't have to go to Hollywood.
Well, no wonder I like you. You didn't get corrupted.
No, I didn't get stupid either.
Well, the stupidest people in America are probably the media. I mean, I think most of you realize the worst virus in America is the media. And for years, they've ignored the Epstein-Maxwell client list and the Hunter Biden laptop. And recently they ignored the FTX money laundering scam. And they ignored all of them because the truth, which the media is supposed to bring us, would hurt Democrats. So the media isn't news anymore. It's political propaganda. So that brings me to the one story the media is all a Twitter over, well, besides Twitter. And that's the Live Nation Ticketmaster flub of Taylor Swift ticket sales. So let's talk about that. Now, the way I understand it, and Slim was one of these, or he knows people were one of these, so he can expand on it. I'll just give you the outline and let Slim give you the nitty gritty. But these peeps were supposedly had special access through credit card companies and other avenues. And they assumed, I believe, about 2 million people, or maybe it was 1.4 million.
Now it was 1.4.
Yeah, 1.4 million. That number popped into my brain, but it wasn't in my brain when I wrote the show. 1.4 million people would have early access. But when Ticketmaster opened access, six times that many logged in, including some bots. So the process was slowed. But there's two dirty secrets. And hopefully the media will talk about these. Live Nation is a concert promoter organization who has hundreds of top acts signed up. They say 400 top acts have contracts with Live Nation. And Live Nation also owns Ticketmaster. So only Ticketmaster can be used to sell any events at Live Nation venues.
Is that true? Live Nation owns Ticketmaster, or does Ticketmaster own Live Nation?
No, Live Nation bought Ticketmaster.
Okay, I just curious. I know they merged 2014. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
2011 or 2014, I don't remember which.
So only Ticketmaster can be used to sell their events, which is pretty much anything worth seeing. And dirty secret number two, and yes, it's number two because I think it's a bunch of shit, is this thing called dynamic pricing. Now, everybody's screaming and hollering about the ticket price increases and how that happened. And I can give you some background on that. But Slim, on pre-show, explained to me why they effed up with 1.4 million people early access that turned into 12 million. But it was 1.4 million we're supposed to have. Even that was a screw up.
Well, they're not admitting that it was a screw up. But if you do the simple math, there was approximately just over 3 million tickets available across all the venues. There was supposed to be the verified fan presale, which was the first presale to take place, in which there was supposed to be 1.4 million presale codes sent out. Then the next presale was going to be the Capital One presale and then general public. The problem is when they gave out the 1.4 million codes for presale in the Taylor Swift verified fan club, they were all allowed to buy six tickets, which puts you over the 3 million.
That's 8.4 million.
Thank you very much. So somebody somewhere didn't do their job.
So basically, they allowed more than twice as many tickets to be sold just to the first group.
More than three times.
Well, it's like 3.3 or 3.4 million seats.
Twice. You're right.
And 8.4 million they were allowed to buy.
No, not everybody.
So the Capital One people never even had a chance.
The Capital One sale never went off, and the general public presale or the general public sales is canceled completely. There is no tickets. I mean, it's done. It's over.
It's over.
If you didn't get tickets in the verified fan presale, you're not going unless you pay $20,000-$30,000.
On the secondary market.
Yeah. Yes. There will not be another opening for anybody to purchase tickets through for this concert through Ticketmaster. It's closed. They oversold.
Rick, did you get your tickets for Taylor?
No, I want to see her.
You don't want to see her?
No.
You could be her next boyfriend she writes songs about, Rick.
She could be, no, I'll make her my sugar mama.
Make her your sugar mama?
Yeah, so
until you show her your bugs, and then she will write a song about you.
Yeah, well, he's going to show her why they call him the Italian Stallion first. That's
better
more
do
important.
That before you show him the bugs. Show her the
bugs. Yeah, don't show her the bugs. Show her the stallion. just a tip from friends, okay?
Explain this dynamic pricing, though, and how.
But this dynamic pricing thing, though, is what kills me, because I understand how Ticketmaster works. I have to use them all the time. I have NFL tickets. And it's interesting because Ticketmaster is basically a bookie, which, you know, it sucks. But like like, say I put my NFL tickets up for, you know, $1,000, okay? And, you know, the face value of them is whatever, 600 and something. And so I'm trying to make a little money on my tickets, which you're allowed to do. So I put them up for $1,000. I also know that when I put them up for $1,000, that when that person pays the $1,000, Ticketmaster's keeping 10%. I'm only getting 900, okay? The other side of the coin is that the person who paid the $1,000 for my Bucks tickets has to also pay Ticketmaster $100 for the right to buy them, so they're paying $1,100. So they pay $1,100, and I get $900, and Ticketmaster keeps the $200 in the middle and shares it with the NFL. It's a fucking scam. But that's not dynamic pricing. That's just how things work in the modern world. Dynamic pricing is when you have a situation like Taylor Swift is probably a bad example because of she's the biggest concert thing out there. I mean, there are other groups and acts that could sell 3.4 million tickets. But if truth be known, Taylor Swift could have sold 50 million tickets if she wanted to. You know, if she wanted to do a big tour and stay on tour for a year, she could be as rich as Elon Musk when she's done. But what happens is they have algorithms in the Ticketmaster program. And so you go on to any venue. Like, I wanted to see Aaron, what's his name? Lead singer for Stained.
Lewis.
Aaron Lewis. I want to see Aaron Lewis at Hard Rock Casino. Okay. He's going to be there, I think, in March or something. So I look up Aaron Lewis tickets. It's not nosebleed because you know how big the venue is, Rick. You've been there. It's what's the seat? 3,000 or something? 2,500. It's not that big a venue. But the seats in the back on the rise are 250 in the back and 400 in the front, or 450 in the front. And then the lower levels start at 450 in the back and then move up to 1250 in the front row. So they sell out Aaron Lewis. If Aaron Lewis sold half as fast as Taylor Swift had, all that demand for those tickets, because it's only 2,500 seats, all that demand for those tickets would kick in the algorithm. And those seats in the back that were 250 to start with would sneak up to 300 or 3.25. And if the demand was more for the front seats, people want to be up front and get the VIP package, they're $1,250 a ticket, they'd be up to $1,500, $2,000 in the computer. The computer does that. Well, they did the same thing with Taylor Swift. Even though these people had pre-sale things, and were allowed in there, a lot of them were supposed to be in there to buy their tickets. And they had too much demand in whatever, St. Louis. And the algorithm would kick in, and those tickets in the back of Taylor Swift, how much were the ones up top in the nosebleed section, Slim? Like 150, 250, something like that?
Yeah, generally. I mean, everything was, I checked 8 or 10 different places she was playing, and the pricing was completely different everywhere. So there's
based on demand.
That's because I was looking at dynamic pricing.
It was based, you were looking at dynamic pricing. St. Louis has got an inordinate number of Swifty fans. Those $250 tickets, the first, you know, 1,000 people would have got them for 250. Then the algorithm would have kicked in. That price would have gone to 400, 500. And I heard a guy on Fox News, I think it was the weather guy, he had to buy tickets for his daughters. And when he went online, those tickets were $300, the ones he wanted to buy. And by the time he got his turn to buy them, the same tickets were $1,100. That's dynamic pricing. Taylor Swift is not going to make more money off of that. That's what Live Nation gets. Well, Live Nation hires Taylor Swift. Now, she might have a contract. I will grant you. She might have a contract saying she gets a certain share of the pricing, which might be why she didn't really bitch about it. What do you think?
I guarantee you she had more than just, of course, they gave her, X amount of money to do the tour, however many states, venues, let's just say 50 for, you know, just for,
let's say 50 sake. Million bucks.
We'll say they gave her $50 million to do 50 venues, $1 million a show, which, to be honest with you,
I think it's 25, but it's,
that's not really out of the ordinary for her.
No, actually, I think she averages $4.5 or $5 million a show, to be honest with you.
That's why I'm saying it's not unnecessary to, that's a big number.
Yeah.
I would guarantee somewhere in her contract, if she were to sell out a stadium, she gets a bonus of some sort, but based on the ticket sales.
As big as she is, I'll bet you you're absolutely right.
And being dynamic pricing goes into effect, the more those tickets sell for, the more her bonus is out of each one of those venues. Now, again, this is all hype. I don't know, because every show writer is different.
What if you're a foreigner? Okay, and you're a bunch of 70-some-year-old guys.
You're not going to sell the stadium.
On your final tour, and you're doing smaller venues, and there's demand there, and the $300 seats jump to $600. Foreigner ain't getting that difference.
Probably
Taylor
not.
Swift might get some of it, but Foreigner is going to eat it. Foreigner is going to get paid X amount of money to do so many shows at so many seats, and I guarantee you they're going to have a minimum sales in there for them to hit their number that they have to get paid. You know, if you don't sell 80% of your tickets, that show gets canceled and you don't get paid. Taylor Swift doesn't have that problem.
No, but absolutely not.
If there's anybody out there who could have fixed dynamic pricing and this whole effing mess with Live Nation, it would have been Taylor Swift.
Well, I read an article today that from somebody at Ticketmaster that basically said that this whole fiasco with Taylor Swift needed to happen because it's allowing them to help weed out the bots and this and that and everything else. But the problem is something you said before. They are the problem themselves. It's not the bots that are the problems that are going in and buying up the tickets. I mean, that is part of the problem, but the problem is exactly what you've said. It's the dynamic pricing, because the promoter wants to make the biggest bang for their buck on each one of those tickets.
And there are thousands of people out there who make their living off of scrounging these tickets and scalping them. I mean,
absolutely.
There's Taylor Swift tickets that are listed right now in the $30,000 range.
This is no lie. There absolutely is. And we're not talking meet and greet or VIP. We're talking just a fucking seat to watch the concert with that kind of money.
So if those tickets had gone, those tickets were, say, they were priced at $1,800 or something like that, I think was like the top number. I'm not sure if that's the right number, but let's for sake of argument say that was the top number. So like $1,800 was her top ticket price. And there was, she's in a 60,000 seat arena with, you know, 15,000 on the floor, 75,000 tickets. You might have 2,500 of them at that top price, the people all around the front. Those tickets, even if dynamic pricing kicked in and those guys had to pay $3,500 for those tickets, they don't care. They just listen to them for 30 grand because they know somebody's going to friggin' pay it.
Somebody will.
It's screwed up. Rick, would you pay that much money? Who would you pay that much money to see?
Nobody. I wouldn't.
Is there an act out there that would get you excited enough that you'd pretty much pay anything you had to go see him?
Well, after I hit the lottery, maybe. But as of now, no.
No?
20 grand? Fuck no.
No, I mean, like Aaron Lewis prices, would you pay $1,250 to go see somebody?
Probably still no.
Mm-hmm. No.
Maybe Kelly Pickler if she was naked.
Kelly Pickler naked. Slim's up for that one. Still Kelly Pickler. Oh my God, how many years has that been?
I'm looking on StubHub just for shits and giggles. I'm looking at Taylor Swift. This is the one at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. Cheapest ticket, $404. And it's section 450. And it is an absolutely fucking terrible seat.
And those were the $150 tickets at the beginning.
That's an obstructed view for $404.
Maybe they were only $100 tickets obstructed. They're going for $400. Okay.
Yeah, $400. trying to, let's check another one here just for shits and giggles. I'm curious as to see how, now this is StubHub. This is the aftermarket. Yeah. It looks like 400 even this is Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas, $400 for absolute nosebleed. Not obstructed, but still.
And you know what? Those are the lower priced tickets. And you're going on StubHub?
I'm on StubHub, yeah.
Which Ticketmaster would not be happy with people reselling them on there.
Well, I'm just saying they're on StubHub. That's because right now you can't look at what anything was because there's no way to look at.
You can't look at Ticketmaster for her.
You have to just go to the secondary market because that's all that there is. As you're getting down, I mean, everything behind the stage is all, I mean, behind the stage, I'm just trying to scroll down here, but behind the stage is in the $700 range. And this is behind the stage.
So you get to, you look at the back of her head.
Pretty much. And at least, I mean, they're not horrible. I mean, in front, so you can kind of see her, $800, $900. I mean, it's not horrible.
Well, these are people who got them at the original list prices. That's why.
Right, and are reselling them. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Section 105, which is looks like it's a pretty good seat, $1,000. Not a great seat, but $1,000.
Gotcha.
Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
See, I can give you two tickets to see Tom Brady for that.
My girls wanted to go see
this. It cost you that much for one ticket to see Taylor Swift.
Yep. Like I said, my girls were all excited. They made it. I had to sign up for, you know, to try to become the thing. And no, I didn't know.
Oh, you know who's excited? Our buddy, Emily Brooke.
Is she excited?
Yeah, Emily, you know, that's, you know, Emily Brooke's been playing music. I mean, she recorded her first EP when she was 13. If you don't know who Emily Brooke is, she's been on American Idol twice, and she's a recording artist, and we've played some of her music on the show. She's been in Nashville for 3 years looking for her big break, and she'll probably get it. But she's quite good, but there's a lot of people in Nashville that are quite good. That's the thing. But she was playing guitar and singing Taylor Swift songs at age 9 outside of, I think it was her hotel, because she couldn't get tickets to the show. And she was out there doing it for hours and hours, and somebody told Taylor Swift about it. Taylor Swift met Emily when she was 9 and got her into the concert, and I think she took her backstage and stuff. So Emily is obviously a Swiftie. And she's kind of her, you know, her idol. And I hope Emily Brooke does get that big, because at least we know her and we can get tickets at face value.
Maybe even free.
Maybe
we can get them for free.
We'll have to ask her mom.
Well, but I hope this doesn't keep happening, though. I mean, because
right, isn't that amazing? All the crap that's going on in the world. This is what the media wanted to talk about this week.
Oh, and then they have. They've been all over this. And then Taylor, she's upset about it too. But at the end of the day, she has no choice but to use Live Nation Ticketmaster if she wants to play in certain facilities.
Big arenas, yes.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like a stage union.
They have dates locked up.
Right. I mean, there's nothing you can do. If you want to play Foxborough, if you want to play, you know, Gillette Stadium, you want to play in those places, you got to deal with whoever's, you know, the person who, or the company that's the promoter for that stadium.
Look, I get everything at Ray J and Amalie Arena here in Tampa is Ticketmaster Live Nation. I mean, I get emails from Ticketmaster every week saying, look what's coming to Tampa. And then they list all the acts and everything that is playing in the area. And they've got everybody tied up. So I heard the way to get out of this is for artists to basically book venues on their own, take the financial risk, of course, and then sell their own tickets through their own website. It's common. It's one way to get around this. The bigger the people are that do it, the better chance it's going to have to work. I think one person that's thinking about doing this is Jeff Dunham.
Yeah, but
the comedian, Jeff Dunham can sell out anywhere.
Well, yeah,
he's
you're
not
right.
Taylor Swift big, but he's big.
No, you're right. But here's, let me show you a different example of that. Taylor does that. So Taylor, now she's, instead of, you know, going through Ticketmaster, she's a big enough name. She maybe could get into some of these other stadiums, even
maybe
though Ticketmaster
is, she could. You know,
well, she's got it's a better chance than most. There's going to be stadiums that would say no because they're Ticketmaster exclusive. But okay, so say she did. If you think Ticketmaster's infrastructure can't handle, you know, 1.4 million people buying tickets, you think Taylor Swift's little website is going to be able to have the infrastructure in place to handle? Not at all.
Your
not
point's
at all.
Valid, but Taylor Swift's rich enough; she can pretty much set up whatever she
so
wants.
So is Ticketmaster, and it fucking flopped.
Yeah, yeah, but that's just because they can't do math.
Basically,
that was pretty
obvious. That was pretty.
But I mean, even this thing about the dynamic pricing, the media isn't digging into. You know, the media's just been so used to repeating whatever the Twitter theme of the day was on everything. You know, it was the left's echo chamber. So now they get fact checked themselves on Twitter, and boy, they're mad. You know, CBS, we're leaving Twitter. We're worried about the security because they might put Trump back on, and they're fact checking us. Well, they didn't say
that.
But those are the two reasons. Yeah, they were gone for a day and a half.
That's it. Just a day and a half. Just long enough for Elon to make fun
to
of
make fun
tweet.
Of them.
That's about all he did.
And I mean, all these idiots think they're smarter than the richest man in the world. Good for them. So Thanksgiving is on Thursday. That would be 2 days from now. Rick.
Gobble.
What you doing for Thanksgiving? Going somewhere?
Yeah, I'm going to my neighbor's house.
Going to your neighbor's?
Yep. Right across the street. Nice and easy.
So you're a good neighbor.
Yeah.
You haven't pissed off your neighbors.
Not yet.
Think Thursday will be the end of that?
Nah.
You'll behave?
Talk politics. Guaranteed they'll kick you out.
No, they won't, because they're on our side. So.
Oh, okay.
This is Florida, man. You know, it's not like New York where you actually got to go search for conservatives. there's plenty of us here.
I'm in upstate. We're plenty of conservatives.
We're all dying. We're dying off, but, you know, we're still here.
Yeah, my neighbors in Brooklyn are basically all conservatives.
Yeah.
My whole neighborhood.
I mean, you're hardcore Italian. You grew up in an Italian household. Everybody in your family's Italian.
Except they never spoke Italian.
What did they eat on Thanksgiving?
Turkey. Well, turkey, yeah, but there was always lasagna. Well, like I said, lasagna was for New Year's Eve. No, okay. For New Year's Day. You know.
Yeah, but with turkey, was there like some manicot on the side or something?
Let's see.
Instead of macaroni and cheese?
No, turkey was at my cousin's. See, each aunt had their own holiday to cook for. My mom was New Year's Day. And my
So it was lasagna?
At my house, yeah. It was lasagna. Christmas was my aunt's house, and that was, she basically made she had lasagna too. And she, one day she said, we're going to have lobster. Everybody's excited. We found out that there was one lobster tail cut up and stuck in the sauce. That was the lobster. So.
She didn't lie.
No, well, lobster and lobster sauce, a little different.
Slim, what do you do?
I gotta work.
What
don't I do? Of course.
Well, I gotta work too.
But where are you gonna eat?
My mother's.
Your mother's?
Mother's.
But I gotta work. Your wife goes over and helps your mother all day and with the kids?
No.
Mom does everything?
You leave it to my mother, and it's always a nice dinner. I mean,
your mom likes, she takes charge. She don't need no stinking help.
No, she doesn't. My stepsister doesn't. She's usually over there and does help cook if she's not working. Sometimes she has to work, but if she's not working, she does help.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of turkey.
Turkey sucks.
I used to make the turkey because Well, no offense, but neither. Both of my wives were decent cooks, but they always fucked up the turkey. Mm-hmm. So I would make the turkey. I mean, people don't know. You stick the turkey in. You don't cover it right away. You let the outside skin brown, then you cover it. They all think, oh, you take it off at the end and let it brown. Well, no, then at the end, then all it does is dry it the fuck out. So there's a little tip for you out there. But, I mean, most of the audience is sitting there going, yep, you're right, you're right. Yeah, well, I wasn't married to anybody who understood that. But I think my favorite Thanksgiving was with Sue about 4 years ago or 3 years ago. We had she didn't like turkey either too much, so we had prime rib.
I know a lot of people that do that. My mother-in-law,
prime rib was awesome.
My mother-in-law and my brother-in-law, or my mother-in-law and my brother-in-law are doing prime rib and lobster for their Thanksgiving. That's not abnormal.
No.
It doesn't always have to be turkey. There's nothing that says, I mean, turkey. Like I said earlier today on Facebook, if you can't find a turkey, just serve Jack Daniels first and your guests will never know it's a squirrel. So
yeah. Guess what I'm having?
What are you having?
Prime rib.
Nope. I don't know that. It's just me, man. I took the advice of the millennials. I saw this about a month ago. They did a story on the news about it. Pizza.
Oh, I was going to say Meals on Wheels.
No. No. Tomorrow I went to the grocery store today and got my other stuff to last me through the football weekend. But Thursday, I am having New York's Best.
Pizza.
Best. Yes. New York's Best is a great pizza place here where I live. And
you live in Florida. How the fuck is it called New York's Best?
Because it's New York's Best. It's done like it's New York. It's New York style pizza in Florida, and their best pizza, their pizza they call the best, is the one with everything on it. I mean, it's just friggin' loaded. It's about a 6-pound effing pizza, and I haven't had one in like 2 years, and I'm gonna get one, and it's gonna feed me Thursday and Friday and Saturday, because it'll take me 3 days to eat that bitch. It's so big. But, everybody else gains 5 pounds on Thanksgiving. I figured, what the hell? I'll gain 5 pounds, too. I don't care.
Better check, make sure the pizza place is open.
They're open tomorrow. Oh, I'm getting it tomorrow.
You're getting it tomorrow. Okay.
I have to get it tomorrow.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah. They're home eating lasagna with Rick's aunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, anyway, so that's what I'm doing. Now, Christmas is only a month away.
Holy fuck, we got to get through Thanksgiving first. Come on.
But I just want to, because of, you've got to get your gifts now if you can find what you want. Because, Pete Buttfudge, hasn't done squat for the supply chain. So disappointments are going to happen. So I want to give some advice to help people out far enough in advance that it will matter. And basically what I'm going to tell you to do is to not buy something. So I'm probably not really helping you that much. But I'm going to try. Don't buy a Sleep Number bed.
Why? That's like on TV all the time. It says I'm going to have the best sleep of my night.
And guess sleep. What? They're no probably more available.
Junk sleep. No more junk sleep.
And isn't don't buy number? And don't buy a Sleep Number and don't buy an Apple Watch. And even though I love Apple products and I love their stock, don't buy either one.
Either one. I thought it was both. Okay, just
don't buy either one. Oh, if you buy both, I'm going to explain that in a second. You're really in trouble. These things record everything you do. They both measure your sleep quality. You get up in the morning, the Sleep Number bed on your app on your phone, it'll tell you how much REM sleep you had and how much quality sleep you had, and your little iWatch will tell you how much REM sleep you had and how much tossing and turning you did and stuff. They know everything.
Who the hell goes to bed with their watch on?
A lot of people. Every kid with an Apple Watch, they keep it on because it measures their sleep. They want to measure their sleep. I'm telling you, don't start doing this. And here's why.
Hey, why?
It's safe to assume that both the Sleep Number bed and the Apple Watch will know how much sex you are or are not getting. I mean, look, the bed sensors even know which side you do it on. I mean, it knows where you leave the wet spot. Okay. With the sensors, it can also figure out your favorite position. And if your position is all by yourself, well, the watch used to think you're just jogging, you know, fast. But both of these things connect to the cloud. And guess who owns the cloud? Amazon. So the watch will figure out that really wasn't a midnight jog you've been doing four times a week. And Amazon's going to start sending you baby magic lotion ads. All your devices. And the bed will know. You know, when you start getting KY ads, they know that you're often behind the person you're having sex with because they can tell from the sensors. And then if they know you live alone, you're only in one side of the bed, you know, 28 nights a month. That one night you get lucky, it will know. And guess what ads you're going to get the next day? Pro flowers. Better sent. You got laid. Send her flowers. They know everything. Those ads are going to be mixed in with Trojan condom ads everywhere. Your phone, your computer, your social media. You're going to be scrolling through your Facebook and KY and Trojan condom ads are going to be popping up everywhere. And it gets worse. Okay. I'm not recommending this, but what if you're a player? Huh? What if you cheat? Say your wife weighs like 160 pounds. Okay. The bed knows these things. And then the bed notices the combined weight dropped off 40 pounds last time you were had your knees in that position and were doing what you do. And then the activity lasted way longer than it usually lasts. Your phone notices that. And the bed notices that.
So does the cloud.
Plus it was in the afternoon. Jeff Bezos will then own your ass, dude. They're going to know you was fooling around, doing the nasty in the afternoon with a woman who's skinnier than your wife. And it was better sex. Now, I'm not going to make a commentary on that, but Jeff Bezos will know. And if you ever seen Jeff Bezos's dick pics, y'all know he's a pervert anyway. You don't want to let him know this about you. And ladies, it's no different for you. If your watch measures late activity without extra weight on the bed, you can pretty much bank on dildo ads, Tinder ads, single resorts ads. They know, ladies. Now, you can stop this. You know, I mean, eventually they're going to get to all of us, but you can slow them down at least. If you listen to me, you can slow the roll a little bit. And if your significant other, here's another thing that's out there for Christmas. So I'm just give you another tip. If your significant other suggests that those Bluetooth pulse rings, have you seen those?
No.
The little rings you put on your opposite ring finger, they're pulse rings. If your significant other suggests those for Christmas, it's so you can feel each other's pulse whenever you're apart. They're hooked up through Bluetooth, and your pulse goes to her ring, and her pulse goes to your ring. Bad idea, people. Bad fucking idea. If you're dumb enough to get in this, I got no sympathy for you. But I'm going to tell you right away, you need to lose it real quick. Okay? She's going to want to know why she's away for 3 days, and your watch thought you were jogging because your pulse went way up. Okay.
Especially when you don't even own sneakers.
Yeah. And if you go on a 2 week business trip and you leave it on, she'll know if you fool around. And if you take it off, she's gonna think you died. Because you don't feel any more pulse. And then when you answer a frantic phone call from a nightclub, well, you're gonna die anyway. Okay. So that is zippy advice on what not to buy for Christmas. You're welcome, America. Just trying to help.
A little bit. You didn't even think about these those rings. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. And, we talked about Bezos and Elon Musk, both billionaires, two of the five or six richest people in the world. And I thought about that, and it dawned on me that I'm pretty sure UFO sightings, they're just billionaires from other planets.
Mm. Oh,
yeah.
Good conspiracy right there. I like it.
You know damn well Elon and Bezos will be—they'll be out visiting somewhere soon, you know. And of course, we do have a stupid criminal from Florida. Where else, right?
We got one from Florida.
Yeah, we haven't done one from Florida in a little while, have we?
But we usually—I mean, most of them do come from Florida, though.
I think Florida's in the 40, 50, 60% percentile. I mean, it's a great state. Make America Florida, right, Rick? But we do got our share of Looney Tunes.
You know, when I posted that meme, I got so much shit for that.
Which
I
one?
Don't know why. The Make America Florida. I got a lot of shit for that.
Who gave you shit?
Just a bunch of people. I don't know if they were, you know, Democrats or whatever, but people just that was one of the best memes ever. I mean, why not? That he's the best pick, but no, we don't want politics tonight. Anyway,
no, no sorry. Politics tonight. Politics, make sorry, America, sorry. Florida. But this is a man in Miami-Dade County courtroom. No politics, but of course, Miami-Dade is a heavy Democratic county that voted for DeSantis. Sorry, couldn't resist. A man was waiting to hear the verdict on his armed robbery charges against him. He attempted to cause himself serious harm. His family said he drank a cup of bleach, but questions remain as to how he was able to obtain it. Jermaine Bell had just been found guilty of armed robbery. He's already been in custody for 3 years fighting the charges, and apparently this was his last shot. And the judge said, nope, you're guilty. So he drank the bleach. He immediately became so sick, he was taken out of the courtroom in a stretcher, taken to the hospital. Jermaine Bell did survive. But questions are being asked about how it could happen. The Reverend Jerome Starling is a distant relative of Bell. He believes there needs to be accountability. Yeah, there you go. Okay. The armed robber finds out his last appeal is gone. He's going to spend the full time in jail. And his cousin says somebody else has to be accountable. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Reverend Jerome Starling didn't vote for the governor. He was in the courtroom. He says, I see him drinking something. That's not right. His attorneys are letting him drink it. Corrections officers are letting him drink it. All of a sudden, I see him collapse. How could this happen? So basically, he wants a couple million dollar settlement for Miami-Dade County. For his cousin trying to off himself because he doesn't want to spend 10 years being somebody's bitch in jail. Oh, stupid criminals.
Would you? That wasn't a stupid criminal. That was a smart criminal. He didn't want
to kill himself?
Yeah, absolutely. He didn't want to spend his time with Bubba. Fucking didn't want his... Oh, just stop.
That's all right. I don't want to talk about Twitter anymore. I do because you point out a whole bunch of shit that, you know, is like fucked up and still getting fixed and all those kind of things. But I don't want to talk about the employee thing. I do want to mention though, for people out there that care like I care, that Elon Musk has made getting rid of kiddie porn on Twitter his top priority. Well, he says his top priority is making money, but getting rid of kiddie porn is a big effing deal. I didn't even know it was a big deal on Twitter. Apparently it was. There was all kinds of places people go and watch all kinds of sick shit. And the old regime at Twitter didn't do a damn thing about it. They just left it go.
Pizzagate. Yeah,
as of 2 days ago, when I was reading about this, they estimate that they have gotten rid of about 90% of it. Whether that's exactly the right number or not, nobody really knows. I just want to give the man credit for doing something right. You know, just leave the fucking kids alone.
Well, that's not the only thing he's doing right. He is doing things right by trying to offer people to have their voice with, like, that whole, you know, President Trump poll, you know, should Trump be able to be reinstated? Now, whether it was bot infested or not.
I don't care. That was just to make sure he makes money, because if Trump does come back to Twitter, it'll boost use tremendously. It's not stupid.
He's trying to do things. He's just, the problem is he, my only problem with what he's doing is that he's trying to do all of it at 450 miles an hour instead of trying to just tackle a couple of problems like this. He tackled this big problem.
That's why Elon Musk is the richest man in the world, though, and not just like Geiger, who's the head of Disney again.
Yeah, but he's in uncharted territory for him.
That's the guy does everything at 450 miles an hour.
I know he's a workaholic, but it's an uncharted. This isn't Tesla. This isn't SpaceX. I mean, this is something.
I don't have stock in any of his companies, and I don't care. You know, if he makes it, I would have faith in him, just because of what he's done in the past, that he'll make a go of this. But I'm not gonna like follow every single little detail about it and everything. But I will say that he has supplanted Trump as the troll master on Twitter. The man is funny, and I follow him just for that. The same reason I follow Trump, because shit was hysterically funny.
He's hilarious. Yeah. Do you know what his ultimate goal is for Twitter? It's to
make money.
But it's to turn it into what's called a super app. Over in Asia, China, over in that part of the country, they're called super apps. You can do everything from inside the app. You can hail your Uber. You can order your food. Everything is done from inside these super apps. And he's already said this, that he wants to create Twitter to be more than just a messaging messaging app and, you know, tweeting.
Well, what are those apps that are just something? The ones where you go behind the paywall to watch things.
Like OnlyFans and stuff
OnlyFans.
He wants to do that too. He wants.
So what you can do, and Rick can take his OnlyFans page and put it on a super app. That's what you're saying.
Well, the super app would have a section for OnlyFans. It would have a section for grocery shopping, to have your groceries delivered. It'd have a section to order a car. It would have a section to make an appointment to have your dog. Not going through like web pages. I mean, because obviously you can do all that on Google, like going to, you know, in your Safari app and open up Google. But I mean, he wants to have an app that you can do everything without ever having to leave that app.
Except for measure the amount of snow that you have in your backyard.
Well, I did that myself.
Yeah, we all saw the picture.
Thank you. I'm glad you did. You know why you all saw the picture? Because Facebook lifted my 1 year ban. So now you can.
Yeah, but you said the snow. You said the snow was only 9 inches deep.
Well, that's just.
I mean, how could you tell?
It was cold. The sucker shrunk.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, see now, Rick, I was totally confused because you know how he brags about how big that thing is all the time.
He's a bragger.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it's like, you know, put me and Rick together, and he goes, ha, 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 you know. But you know, I am really tired of you being the only one who brags about your penis, Slim.
Then just start bragging about yours, whether it's true or not.
I'm going to tell the truth. Everybody listen out there, I'm going to tell you the truth right now.
The five donut one.
No, I am bigger than most porn stars in Japan. Japan. That's the truth.
Awesome.
Sorry. Anyway, so this last story I got here tonight is just one that just fucking, I'm sorry, I think I've gone all night without saying that, but this one creeped me out. It's from The Sun, and I like The Sun. I mean, you know, it's one of those tabloid rags from England, but this is called the U.S. Sun, so this is the American version, whatever. I don't know what difference that makes. But the headline is Bot the Dog. Your next dog could be a robot as scientists work to strengthen bond between humans and machine pets. And I love dogs. This is like the first time I can't even think how long it's been since I have not had a dog until this year. But dogs are referred to as man's best friend, but some scientists think robots could work as alternative companions.
They don't shit on the floor.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And if I don't have to friggin' take them out since I live in a townhouse with just a little tiny backyard, researchers from the University of Glasgow in Scotland are trying to work out how humans could bond with robots better, and dogs may provide some of the answers. According to Science Daily, the researchers are exploring the possibilities of developing dog-inspired robots to form bonds with humans. They've investigated the relationships between 153 dogs and their owners. They found 7 factors that helped them form a bond between them and their fluffy friends. See, there's the key word.
Fluffy?
Yeah. Look at these pictures of robot dogs. Any of them look fluffy?
Oh, I don't want that fucker laying with me in bed.
Mm. No. He's no fun to tickle his belly.
Not at all.
Anyway, these 7 factors are shared activities, staying close, good communication, physical touch,
and no shit.
Consistency, positivity, and having a routine. Those are the 7 things. They also said using a qualitative approach enabled us to gain a deep and nuanced understanding of the things. Well, there you go. Screw that. Close that link, guys. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but my Norton just went off on that particular page. It didn't like it. It's probably got too many tracking cookies attached to it or something. But I don't know if you guys heard the beep in your headset, but I sure as hell did. Beep! Norton's running, Norton just did an update on my computer, so it's screwing around. But robot dogs, okay? Yeah, you know, it's cute and stuff. But, you know, I've got a little robot R2-D2. You know, it can run around the house and make noise and do whatever I tell it to do, and it can even talk. And it can fall down and get itself back up. It can do all those things. But I don't pet it.
No, but there is benefits to this, though.
I don't put R2-D2 in bed.
Somebody who wants that companion that needs to maybe work 18-hour days or travel and can't actually have a real dog. This one, they can just take the batteries out.
Well, maybe they can just go get one a tarantula from Rick.
I got 2 tarantulas. I got a shitload of isopods.
But tarantulas are furry.
Yeah, kind of.
So technically, you can pet a tarantula, right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
You're saying you don't advise it?
Nah, I wouldn't pet a tarantula.
You wouldn't pet a tarantula? Why not? They might bite you?
No, they like to flick their hairs off.
They like to what?
They like to flick you. They'll flick their butt hairs off.
They flick their butt hairs.
Do they sting?
They don't. No, they don't sting. It gets really irritating if it gets in your eyes. You don't want to do that.
The butt hairs.
Yeah, the butt hairs, and it gets on your skin, and sometimes you get allergic and it itches like crazy. You get like if you're sensitive to it, you get a rash. You just make them crawl on you. Oh, okay, nice, and you put them back.
I'm just going to leave all my comments about women out of this one. But I've thought of about 12. But, you know, I've got 2 other friends that have on Facebook. Well, one of them I know from playing cards.
Yeah.
That have tarantulas.
Ah, okay.
So next time I talk to either one of them, I'm going to ask them about tarantula butt hairs.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a conversation starter.
It is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Who the hell's ever started a conversation with you going, hey, your tarantula ever flick butt hairs at you?
And they're going to say, how did you learn that? Our friend Rick.
The Italian stallion told me.
Yeah.
Well, Slim, you've got to go do big boy job.
Yeah, I got a big boy job.
Are we okay for next week?
No. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be okay for next week because my big boy job for the last 9 days just got way more intense. And unfortunately, I think
we're going to
take a...
way more.
We just have an employee issue, so I will be unfortunately devoting pretty much 16 hours a day for the next 9 days, getting ready to wrap up my season at work. So Tuesday is off. Sorry, folks.
They're closed. You're closed December 1st?
December 1st. And then I get 8 months to sit home and do absolutely nothing. So.
Oh, you feel so bad, don't you?
I do. But believe me, these next 9 days are going to absolutely be horrible. So no show next week. I apologize, but we got to take the week off. So, right, unless you two want to do something.
We'll find one that isn't all about politics and replay it.
Yeah, there you go. That works. Whatever. All right. Figure. Just let me know. So
okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I wanted to ask Rick how his lasagna was, but he's not having lasagna. He's going to the neighbors.
I go to the neighbors and have it. What do they have? They have. They're gonna make turkey. I don't know if she does ham. I don't think she does ham. She might do both.
Are you going? No, I'm not gonna go there either.
All right. I'll probably see Rick on Friday.
Uh huh.
So if he looks fatter, I'll tell everybody.
Oh yeah, Joy.
All right. If you don't have the Zone Out Radio app, get it in the Google Store or the wherever the hell you get your iPhone stuff. What's it called?
The Apple Store.
App Store.
Well, the Apple Store or whatever. Store. You're right. What the fuck do they call it? I think it's the App Store.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that little symbol on your phone with the A.
Yeah.
Go there. Get
download
it.
Your apps.
Zone Out Radio. That way you get music 24/7. It's totally free. DJ Slim is not called DJ Slim just for the hell of it. He actually knows how to program music. It's fun. There's no commercials. We're not trying to make money off the damn thing.
Not trying to. We don't make a dime.
Shh. Don't tell them that because I'm a half owner. I want people to think.
Well, I want them to listen.
I'm heavily invested.
There's no ads. Just listen. Just so we feel special.
I'm invested. We're just not getting anything back. That's okay.
It's one day. Someday anyway. We'll get a call from Sirius and be like, hey. You know, you guys want to come on. So.
I want a call from that place in New York that hands out the podcast awards. Because we've been pretty damn good this year.
Maybe they'll get to us.
And COVID's over.
That's right.
We haven't had an award since before COVID.
You know.
So.
We got to get an award now because I'm here.
That's right. We need one with you.
We've got a friggin' famous person now.
Famous. Right. Yeah, famous.
Jesus. Anyway, our closing song tonight is for everyone who's going to listen to my advice on the Sleep Number bed and Apple Watch. If you know the song, you'll be smiling as soon as I tell you. And if you don't listen, then you'll get it. Enjoy. This is 3 a.m. by Matchbox 20. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Baby, when it's 3 a.m. I must be lonely. believe that life is made up of all that you used to. And the clock on the wall has been stuck at 3 for days and days. She thinks that happiness is a map that sits on her doorway. But outside, it stopped raining. And she says, baby, huh? When I scream, I must be lonely, huh? Yeah, she says, baby, yeah, yeah. Well, I can't help but be scared of it all. Sometimes the rain's gonna wash away, I believe. Yeah.